Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is an expert on today's topic. And today we are discussing the topic of employee engagement, motivation, and positively connecting with your teams. And joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Jackie Ramstedt, who is a nationally renowned speaker, educator, and consultant to the apartment industry. Welcome, Jackie.
Thank you so much, Paul. I'm anxious to talk to your people. This is a great subject.
Well, we had talked about this topic, and you had sent me some notes that you thought were important. And one of the things you had mentioned early on was a Gallup poll, and I think our listeners need to know what that said. Will you cover that?
I sure will. You know, I do a lot of research before I do any of my seminars and so on, and one of the greatest things I find is things like Gallup polls. They actually reported that literally only about 13% of employees are actually engaged at work. Disengagement is about 54%, and there are just so many things that we need to talk about today to kind of help re-engage people, along with stress and family issues. And I've got tons of stories to kind of relate to that kind of thing. You know, everybody struggles with that to get people to do it, especially the property managers. They're the ones on site that feel like that a lot of time nobody's feeling that weight of responsibility.
Well, you'd mentioned that the managers struggle with the disengaged employees as their number one point of pain. That's interesting.
Yeah, you know what? It really is. And, you know, there's kind of some ways to be able to actually identify some of those things. We know that when we feel the weight of that responsibility that nobody's helping or that they're not going to actually do the things we need to do, you know, property management really is not all that difficult. I've been doing it for 30-plus years and helping clients do it all the time. And when I walk in, one of the first things they do is say, Jackie, help me. I mean, I'm telling these people, I'm trying to help engage them and, you know, get them motivated to do what they're really supposed to do. I said, well, there's some, you know, some traits of those kinds of employees. Let's talk about for a second, and this is kind of how I start my client meetings, and say, you know, some of the traits that you can think about would be, you know, if they're always making excuses about it. You know, you're delegating them a task and so on, and you've got a deadline to do and so on, and because of that, they're just not going, oh, well, you know, I didn't have time or whatever. It's like, look, you know, we've really got to do that. And you know, because of that, we think about, well, maybe they didn't ask the right questions. Maybe they lack that enthusiasm, and they really, truly just, maybe they don't want to do their job anymore. I mean, I've asked so many people a lot of times, what is it you really want to do? Is the reason that we're not connecting or whatever is because you're burned out? And because you're burnt out, there's a lot of people that say, yeah, you know what, I didn't know I was, but you can always tell that when people are disengaged, that's for sure.
And, you know, as you mentioned in your notes, Confucius had a famous saying about that.
Yeah, I love that. I'm one for quotes all the time because they kind of speak to me more eloquently than I can speak myself. Confucius said, you know, choose a job you love. You'll never work another day in your life. And I think that's the reason I stayed in this business, Paul, for so long, is because on my worst days of the world, I still said every morning, you know what, I'm going to get up, and today I'm going to be the windshield and not the bug. I'm going to go out there, and they're not going to take over, and my job is to help everybody to be able to, you know, relate to why, because we're really in a people work industry. We're not in property management. Yeah, we take care of the sticks and bricks and things like that, but helping people to be successful is the number one reason why I stayed in this business.
How much does employee turnover contribute to the disengagement?
Well, you know, it's funny. I think that most people, when I go back, because I do these kinds of seminars on an annual basis, and with some clients I come on a quarterly basis, and I'm like, oh my gosh, half the room are all new people. Mm-hmm. Property management is not for everyone. They're the kind of people that they take it because they think they need to, you know, this is going to be an easy job, and really it's not. When you're dealing with, you know, angry residents and, you know, staff members that don't want to do what they're supposed to do every day, this gets pretty stressful. And in order to do that, you really have to think, okay, is it me? Maybe I'm having some issues.
Does disengagement go uphill? In other words, does an employee on the front lines, on the property site, feel like the people that they are working for, their regionals or executives, don't listen or are not engaged in trying to help them?
You know what? You're right on point. I remind people that, you know, you're only as good as how the leader is leading the pack. And we have a lot of changes over these last few years at the top. We're losing or mergers or acquisitions. I mean, I myself went from a company called Balcor that was bought out by a company called Insignia that was bought out by a company called Aimco. And, you know, everybody has their own viewpoint, their own hot buttons, their own things that they want to achieve for that company. But as that message comes, I call it the tablets from the mountain, when those come down to the on-site people, if there is a disconnect at that point, you're never going to get that, oh, we're the best customer service company out there, or we're the ones that provide the best for our employees. And then I have stories of, you know, companies out there that are cutting back benefits. And so, therefore, they're like, you know what, you don't think I'm the best. As a matter of fact, if you don't take care of your employee, how can you expect them to take care of your customers?
And I guess one trait of that happening would be the high turnover.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think people don't perceive things, or maybe they do, but they perceive things of, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. I'm going to be a leasing consultant, or I'm going to be running a property, and all I have to do is just be nice to people and plan parties and stuff like that, when that's not how it really is. I mean, running a multi-million-dollar business, whether it's a small asset or, you know, 2,000 units in the largest management company out there, all of that falls back onto that weight of being able to manage yourself and manage other people. And if, you know, we're going to talk about a little bit today about personalities and generations and how they affect things, but really it starts at home with the owners, the investors, and the management companies, because a lot of times there's actually two streams of thought. You've got the owner and the investor, and then you've got the management company that comes in. And if they're not synced, how can we possibly do that on laying the foundation for the people on site? And a lot of people are like, look, man, I'm overworked, underpaid, and underappreciated. I could go make more, the same amount of money I'm making right now at McDonald's. Why would I go through all of this?
Yeah, and I would imagine that somebody who's on the front lines at the property level, if they're getting mixed messages from the owner who may be, you know, some owners are not engaged at all in day-to-day, but some, you know, are always calling the property and wanting to get answers, and the management company may be saying one thing and the owner is saying another, that's got to be difficult to juggle.
Well, it is, and it's kind of hard to make a game plan of how do I handle that. I always talk about juggling the hats. You know, people that run, you know, properties in today, they really have got to wear a lot of different hats. And if you are owned by a company and managed by a second company, better known as a fee deal, mm-hmm. that you really do come in. Now, I have to tell you a quick story. One of my properties that I had years ago, literally, I had an owner, an investor, and my immediate supervisor all lived on that property. I mean, I couldn't even walk in the door without getting my coat off before I had 75 emails and, hey, I was walking my dog last night, and I just want to let you know that the gutter on Building 7 needs to come down. And that's from an owner. And then a second note from my immediate supervisor from the management going, we don't have any money for that right now. Don't worry about it. What am I supposed to do?
Right. No, that's a tough spot to be in. We got about a little bit over a minute left in this segment. Let's talk about, are there any other traits of a disengaged employee that you think are important for people to be aware of?
I think one of the ones that, and this is just what I call Jackie-isms, I think one of the biggest ones is lack of initiative. We're not babysitters. We hire people for skill and train them for what they need to do, but we cannot every single day go, okay, tell me what to do, Jackie, tell me what to do. If there's no initiative, that is a huge part of what that disengagement comes up with.
Right. Right. Well, we are going to have to take a break. We'll be back with our next segment of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of employee engagement, motivation, and positively connecting with your teams. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Jackie Ramsett, who is a nationally renowned speaker, educator, and consultant to the apartment industry. Before we get back in the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you'd like to provide show topics, guest ideas, or suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Jackie, you know, we're dealing in the age of people and people management, not necessarily property management. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. I think my greatest challenge for the people that I work with, and not only that, but myself, is the different, you know, generations that we have working together under one roof. Now, what I'm about to tell you, it can be actually used between not only your work life, but your personal life. I mean, I think about this. I mean, my husband and I have been married almost 40 years. We've got 3 sons, 9 grandkids. And let me tell you, generations are totally now showing their definition of what they like and what they don't like. I mean, like working with my parents, and I've been a manager or district manager on properties where there were people older than I was, and they kind of that traditionalist line like my parents. And, you know, you have to watch the engagement that you do. You can't come in. They look at you like, what do you think you know? You're just like a kid. How can
right.
you possibly know these things? And then, of course, we have those people that have been in the business a long time, like, yeah, I've been in this business 80 years, and I hated every minute of it. Well, you know what? Maybe it's time for you to change, because the world has changed. The people we work with every day changes. And we just talked a little bit about the turnover. I mean, we just never know. It's kind of a roll of the dice of who we're going to get to work with every day.
And speaking of generational, I mean, it's not just attitudes, it's also technology and how well someone adapts to technology.
That is so true. I when I work with some of my people, because I do a lot of consulting work for many, many companies out there, and one of the things that I, of course, I'll go to first, of course, is the owners and investors and so on, and they've got their own way of doing things. They're kind of in that, what I call the baby boomer traditionalist era, and they're like, I don't know what to do with these kids these days. I'm like, you know, the technology piece is huge. The good news is in our business that all of our vendors and suppliers and support technology, they have all started making it not so difficult like it was, you know, 20 years ago, but now more user-friendly so that we should be able to adapt to that. I keep saying I've been doing this for 30 years. I know how to run a report, and I know how to do Yardi and OneSite and, you know, MRI and, you know, how to do your social media. And I always say, don't let that scare you. If you need to hire someone on your team, then that I call it reverse mentoring. Hire somebody younger that, you know, that's just what they do every single day. And they can help you to learn how to do the social media and, you know, the Twitter and the Facebook and, you know, the websites and all those other things. And just to get a better understanding of today's world. It's the ones that don't want to change and are kind of stuck in that era. Well, they should all be this way. You know what? That's not how life is. Not only your staff, but your customer. And we have to relate to your customer more.
So how are you dealing with difficult personalities with all that?
You know, I myself, I know there's the DISC, there's other kinds of things, and going online that companies are now using personalities to actually be part of their onboarding system to find out, you know, how they achieve things, what do they want, how do they like to be talked to, and so on. And difficult people can be very, I call it like, you know, like a bull, kind of dug in, that they don't understand how to do that. So there are a lot of different websites and a lot of different training, including my own that I do, of talking about those really staunch driver, factual people that just it's control freak and all of that kind of thing. We can't all be the same personality in an office or to deal with. If we do, somebody's going to die. So I always remind people, if you identify their personalities, those difficult ones that is just give it to me on a postcard, give it to me in 10 words or less, I don't care about any of the foo-foo stuff that you're doing, that I just need to know the facts, then you've got to learn to cut down what you do in your conversations with people. We've got analytical people that it's all about details, details, details. Well, that driver personality, they don't care about the details. Just do what I tell you to do and let's run. You know, it's fire ready aim, and they just go. But then you've got those people that are a little, I'll call it sensitive, maybe a little thin skinned. Those are the ones that they want to be accepted and they want to do things the right way and so on. But you know what? They are the ones that you got to kind of protect. And quite frankly, this is a people business. Mm-hmm. So because of that, we want to make sure that we're hiring people that are intelligent, friendly. But that personality concept really comes in being able to be flexible, being able to recognize those hot buttons, if you will, in other people and not just be on a, I'm supposed to tell you this, those kind of task doers. And they want to be, just tell me every step of the way. Sometimes that kind of gets in the way. We need people that are a little bit more user-friendly. My husband and I always talk about that in that my kids say, Mom, you know what? You've actually made Dad user-friendly. Now, we're originally from Chicago, so Dad is a really get-in-your-face kind of person. I'm obviously the more social person and can be the glue of things. And because of the dynamics of my own family, I've actually been able to help people identify those difficult people. You know, don't irritate them anymore, but sit down and sometimes you have to just ask them, look, what is it that you need? And it may not even be what you're talking about. You know, Paul, I'm sure you ran into this yourself, that people come and they will yell at you about something because you happen to be the person in front of them. And it has nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the ones that go home and yell at their spouse and they yell at the kids and they kick the dog on the way out. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's really that finding out what the root issue is from people.
Well, you know, and you had mentioned earlier in the segment training, and it's a people business, and training is paramount. However, with the turnover that happens, do you think, and this is a question I asked a guest on a previous episode, do you think that the owners and the management companies understand that training is not something that can be done one time, checked off, we trained everybody, because every day you're adding or losing employees? So what kind of things are you seeing with that?
Absolutely. Let me give you an example, like fair housing class. So that we have our, what is our proactive stance to make sure that every one of our people have gone through some kind of training. And there is blended learning, which means you can go online, you could do webinars, you can be doing some of those things from a remote location. But like you said, it can't be a one and done. The sad thing is that the reason I opened my own business in 2000 was the companies that I worked for, I kind of thought it was one and done, when I'm saying no, education, training, and understanding is an ongoing process. And so that's kind of what I do to present, look, let me help your training people to remind them. You can't go in and, I call it drinking from the fire hose. You can't go in and go, here, let me just give you everything you need to know in a two-hour thing and then we're done. No, they need to give a sip at a time, a cup at a time of information. I call it just-in-time learning. And when an issue comes up, then we all do that. And I think we're starting to take a turn. It can't be all hog or no. It can't be all remote or all blended learning and then no face-to-face, because that's really what you need. You need to have mentors and glean the best of your place. You don't have to hire outside people all the time. You just need to find the people that do really well at what they do. If they're an organization queen or king, then they're the ones that are going to come in and talk about paperwork. I mean, affordable housing, compliance is a nightmare. I mean, I don't even do that aspect of it. I don't do the paperwork. I do the people work. Mm-hmm. And because of that, then they get so engrossed in what they do every day on making sure they dot the I and cross the T, they've totally forgotten that, you know what? This still is about the people. No people, no money, no money, no you.
Yeah, and even in affordable housing, that the people aspect could even be much more important.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of the demographic and the issues that come up in that arena.
Well, I think we have to also remember, too, not only personalities, generations, but also the different levels of apartment management. I mean, we've got people, I've got a client in Cleveland, Ohio, that actually the residents don't pay any money at all. They're literally that poor. It is the lowest low-income tax credit situation, but yet to drive that property or to talk to the people on site, you would never know that, because I always say this, it's an honor and a privilege to live on a community that is ran by good people that take care of their residents, take care of that asset, all the way up to, $5,000 a month for rent and everything in between. And I had a high rise in part of my portfolio where people paid rent through a bulletproof glass. Mm. So, we've got all of these high end, we've got, little mom and pop operations and HUD ran. It's all about still the people.
Sure.
And making sure that we treat people with dignity and respect.
All right. Well, we are going to close out this segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. We are going to be back right after these messages with more on this topic. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit RasaFloors.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of employee engagement, motivation, and positively connecting with your teams. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Jackie Ramstedt, who is a nationally renowned speaker, educator, and consultant to the apartment industry. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the flooring professional advisor specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And CTS, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Jackie, one of the things that we talked about during prepping for the show was, before someone can manage anybody, they've got to be able to manage themselves effectively. Talk a little bit about that.
I am probably one person that really takes this part to heart. You can't tell anybody else how to do anything if, number one, you haven't been there yourself. I teach the certified apartment management courses for the National Apartment Association, and one of the things that we've decided that, if you do not have that credential yourself, how can you teach other people? So I always start with myself and say, let's look at me. What is it about myself? What do I need to do and change? Because we all, like when we come to our review every year for our annual review or bonus, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, boy, I've been great. Really? Have you? Have you done? What have you done for your company to either make or save time, effort, and money? And because of that, that's the value of you. And there's a lot of things that you need to kind of do. Now, I love to read, and because of that, I have a lot of different books. And one of the books that I love is a book, it's called It's Your Ship, and it's with Captain Michael Abershoff. And he was the youngest captain in the Navy, and it's management techniques from the best damn ship in the Navy. And one of his quotes in the book said, leaders need to understand how profoundly they affect people, how their optimism and pessimism are equally infectious, and how directly they set the tone and the spirit for everyone around them. I always say, everyone brings joy into this world. Some people when they walk in a door, and some people when they leave. You know, the perception of your own value comes from you, but what other people think of you. And so reputation management is huge for me. So in order to do that kind of thing, that's what is going to impact when you walk through the door to be there, to help people, to be educated. And don't just rest on your laurels of, hey, I won a reward 15 years ago. Nobody cares. I mean, that was just part of your history and your track record. But what have you done today?
And so when you're consulting with companies and you come across somebody who is, in the levels of the person who's hiring you, mm-hmm. who is not capable of managing other people and managing themselves, how do you walk that tightrope?
Well, I always tell them this. Let's look at the good in what your company's doing. Let's start there. How it always is when you bring in a consultant, the first thing, okay, tell me what I'm doing wrong. No, let's start well, tell me what you're doing right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can kind of fill in the gaps of things. I mean, it always starts at the top. I mean, you got to choose the right people. You got to focus on the goal that you want for the company. And then how are you actually empowering your people? How are you doing? They're like, well, I think that's where I'm missing out. Okay, now we've got a plan. Maybe it's you're not hiring the right people. You know, if you don't hire right from the start, then you're always going to have the wrong, I call it fit for the hole. It's the square peg and the round hole. And no matter what you do, it's going to be bad. So I have done a lot of coaching with owners and investors of saying, okay, what is it that you see? How can we put this into a game plan? Because you can't go out and again, drinking from the fire hose, you can't do that. You have to make a plan. There's 12 months in the year. What are we going to focus on every single month?
And what other strategies can you share, I guess, with that would impact engagement across the realm of from the corporate to the on-site folks?
One of the things I like to tell people is that, you know what, you need to hold your people more accountable. I think we make excuses, but we don't hold them necessarily accountable. There's no secret between, you know, your first-time manager, supervisor, and then the people that are there. It's all about if we've got to make the plan, but we've got to hold them accountable. And the other part is this, is developing for engagement, making sure that you've got good training and reevaluating. Okay, if this doesn't work, just like a good marketing plan. I mean, there is a people marketing plan as well, and that's all about that. But one of the key factors at the top is we got to remove some of these barriers. Well, we can't get everybody here, and we can't do that. Well, I don't want to involve myself in getting a video conferencing thing. Are you kidding me? They have stuff like that all the time. There's no reason why once every other week or at least once a month we can't have you standing in front and having people logging on just to do one thing, and that is this. Remind them how important they are to you. I mean, they don't care about me. I mean, I'm the consultant, but they do care about the captain of the ship.
Exactly. I'm assuming that when you're talking about on-site folks and giving them the opportunity to have accountability, is there a breakdown sometimes in giving them responsibility and authority where they don't feel like they're accountable because they don't feel like they've been given the authority, or they're always overridden when it comes to a decision?
Boy, that is very, very true. I consider myself a bridge builder. Owners and investors to management companies to mid-management to on-site, and that message has to be clear all the way through. And when you have a mid-management person that is really disassociated with, I don't care what they want, this is what we're going to do here, it's kind of back to that original thing we talked about today, and that's those mixed messages.
Mm-hmm.
And a perfect example of that, I was last year, I was on a client in the St. Louis area, and because of that, I would go on and say, well, wait, I'm here to help you roll out the customer service program, because I was going from region to region to help this client out, and they're like, it was all in a box on the side, and I'm like, what, he goes, here's what his words were to me. Jackie, why should I do this? This is just a new initiative by somebody in the higher-ups. They don't give a bleep about us, and I can put it up or not put it up, but somebody's going to change it in about 3 weeks, so I just don't. I'm not even buying in anymore. Mm. I said, oh, my gosh, how horrible. But it was true. I mean, they're like, oh, great, just ship this stuff up. And we spend a lot of time, effort, money on an upper level putting these concepts together. But I always say this, then you need to get off your butt and go to the properties and see it put in place. Because there's sometimes a disconnect between home office, corporate, and on-site.
And so in a situation like that, how do you balance what needs to happen in order to resolve that? Because it's an issue that that somebody thinks they're doing something that never gets done because people don't either agree with it or are saying it's going to change. How do you guide them on getting a balance there?
Sure, sure. Well, I always say this: you got to give people what they want. And number one is they have to make time for me. So the person on site who is, you know, let's say it is a leasing consultant or assistant manager or a maintenance technician, and nobody is giving them the directives, because nobody is giving their supervisor the directive, that the first thing we have to do is sit down and make time. That's the hardest part about our business. I mean, notoriously, why didn't we do that? We don't have time. Hmm. Well, if we have time to do it over, why don't we just do it right the first time? Mm-hmm. And helping people to understand, and this is where I kind of connect the two dots, and that is, how much money have you spent, and now it didn't get down to the people such as the leasing consultants and so on, and now we have vacancy loss, we have got, you know, economic occupancies, meaning the money we should have done, we have lost out. You can't gain that money back. And I don't want to say that, you know, owners and investors are only interested in the money aspect. It's not just the money, it's the money. But it is in making time to reinforce in your key people and constantly be reminding them and rewarding them and understanding and giving them a voice. You have to give people a voice, and then the voice has to be heard, and then once it's heard, there has to be a change. If not, we're on the hamster wheel over and over again.
All good information. We do have to take a break, and we are going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of employee engagement, motivation, and positively connecting with your teams. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone, longtime multifamily industry veteran, Jackie Ramstedt, who is a nationally renowned speaker, educator, and consultant to the apartment industry. Jackie, this is a great topic. I certainly have learned a lot, and I know our listeners have too. Let's talk about some of the other things about this topic that you think are important, and even some takeaways that you can, you know, supply to our listeners to possibly use at their properties or in their companies.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I think I've said a couple of times during our session today was I'm great on quotes, and Sir Richard Branson with Virgin Airlines, if you follow him, he's got like a kind of a TED Talk and things like that. One of the quotes that really got to me, because I actually heard him speak at one of the National Apartment Associations, he was one of the keynotes, and he said, "Train people well enough so they can leave, but treat them well enough so they don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, how powerful is that? And he talked about his failures and his successes and things like that with his engagement with his own people. One of the things he also talked about was that he doesn't believe in like vacation days or sick days. And, of course, the audience looked at him like, what the heck is going on? He said, I believe that I hire the right people, I engage with them, and I believe in them, and I empower them to be able to go, look, if you need to take off, then take off. You just know that the project still has to be completed. So this kind of puts people to not look at the top, but to look more introspectively so that the team is looking at one another. And I thought that was a great aspect, mm-hmm. that they weren't depending on him to make these decisions. He goes, that's the reason I hired you. They give them the tools and the education and training. But really, the key to all of this, trying to get employee engagement, is not top-down motivation. Those are points of view. But the most important thing is that the team has to rely on themselves. It should never get above or beyond unless it's out of their, I call it pay grade, that they can't make that decision based on they don't have that responsibility level or accountability level, or that's just, again, out of their pay grade. And there were some questions that I kind of put together when I kind of took that away, and I said, I said 10 questions you should be asking yourself. The first one is what are your core values and beliefs? Have you aligned yourself with a company that believes in the same things that you do? There's, ethical, moral, and illegal. Those are lines we don't ever want to go across, but if you think about that, then you can align yourself. That kind of goes back to our choose a job you love and you'll never work another day in your life. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where we get that.
So when, obviously when you were talking about that Richard Branson quote, I immediately thought about, a property manager, a maintenance, tech on a property saying, I know I got to get the project done, but I'm going to take off for 2 days.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's got to be some type of balance there.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And I think it's the communication.
Sure.
I mean, there's like management, bulletproof glass, and maintenance. And, when you're talking about that dynamic on site, if they do not get along and look at themselves of not a totem pole where it's the manager down to the porter or the landscaper, that we're really a circle with a hub, and the hub is the property manager and the maintenance supervisor or the service manager, whatever they call them. And if the two of them are not working well together, then the spokes of the wheels, they're just job duties. I think now more than ever, communication, talking about issues, and I equate that to, and I don't know if you've got family in the military, but I do, I call it debriefing sessions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just what do we need to do today, but it's literally debriefing sessions where we go in and go, okay, it doesn't matter who's in charge or what your position is or what your rank is. We've got an issue. Who's at fault? How can we fix it? How can we make it so we don't do it again? And then we walk away, and then we kind of go back to our things. Our problem is when nobody talks to one another.
And that's a question I've got for you. I mean, you consult with a lot of the major companies in the industry.
I do.
Some of the ones that are the most successful, communication's got to be a major part of that success. Talk a little bit about some of the traits you see as far as how people communicate from the top down.
Well, I think they're starting to embrace now more of the technology,
mm-hmm.
and the technology of having things where they can do the video chats. I have a lot of folks out there that I just spoke at the NAA in June, and it was how do you actually engage with remote teams. And I've talked to the larger management companies out there. I've actually spoke to a gentleman from P.F. Chang. Whether it's restaurants, our industry, or whatever, connecting and making people feel a part of that communication has to be more than just a one time and done. I believe people are starting to now put into, like on a Monday or a Wednesday, and say, we're going to have a quick conference call. It's only going to last 15 minutes. Dial in. bring to the table the things that you need for people to know, and we will brainstorm very quickly to make sure that we're on point, that we're going according to what the company policies are wanting or what the owners are wanting us to actually achieve. And then we're not doing death by 8,000 emails anymore. I think it's texting. It's just-in-time learning. And I've encouraged companies, and I'm actually a part of that now for 2020, that I am encouraging companies to put together a video YouTube library. Mm. And to have no more than 2 or 3 minutes, you know, I always laughingly say, you know, if you don't know how to boil an egg, go on YouTube. It'll tell you how to do it in 2 minutes. I think we need to capture that kind of communication with people. They don't need to go to a seminar or take 6 hours off and close the office down. They just need to have a library by which it's like, gosh, I don't know how to fill this form out and I don't understand it. Well, then get your people that know how to do it and do a 2-minute quick YouTube video. Upload it to your private server, and it literally is a resource that really helps people.
We've got a couple of minutes left before I want to transition for the final moments of the segment, but I read articles, and I've read these articles for years, and consistently when it comes to employee engagement or customer service, you know, they name the top companies in the world that provide the best customer service or the best, you know, where the employees are the happiest and so forth. And mm-hmm. and two companies that are always in that list are Southwest Airlines and the Ritz-Carlton. And you know, I'm wondering, does multifamily industry, do they learn anything from those types of the way those companies are run?
Absolutely. I think that because I'm on an airplane literally every single week all year long, I am a Southwest person. I love them. They're amazing. I use a lot of their quotes and their philosophy and that transparency where it's like, look, if you want to know something, just ask us. I think we're starting – our industry, Paul, is a very huge, old tanker to turn. We've got people that have been in the business a long time, and it's a family-owned business or whatever, and it just to get people involved in turning the way that they actually run their business, it has to make sense to them. And these kind of outside the industry people are using those kinds of things all the time. I mean, Google, and you know, there's a lot of companies that have, you know, the employees where that they can have a day off and do a lot of team building, and a lot of the conferences I go to, they're doing charity events where they're putting together bicycles and dollhouses. They're doing Habitat for Humanity. And I think that we're starting to do that corporate social responsibility, that we're getting outside of the box of just leasing apartments. In companies like this, they're starting to take note, and when you go to the national conferences and you see all these new vendors and suppliers that are out there that have come up with some new ways to show you that this is what other industries do, we need to take note of how they do on retaining their own employees and keeping them happy and engaging in them. And I call it kind of like wearing a good pair of shoes. You're going to wear those shoes for as long as they make sense. And when they start hurting you, it's time to change shoes. And I know that's kind of funny, but I have these little kind of things that are Jackie-isms that I talk about all the time. But that's kind of it. And they're not happy, you're not happy, you know, and they're like, look, before you do, about quarterly, I'm engaging people to say, you need to talk to every single employee on a quarterly basis. Mm. Just 5-10 minutes, how you doing? How's it going? Are you happy? Because I don't want to lose my good people to other people.
Sure.
As I've told my husband's first wife, it's all about customer satisfaction.
That's a great Jackie-ism. All right, we've got about 2.5 minutes left in this episode. I wanted to ask you how you got into the business. I always ask people that. And then also tell us what you're working on now, and if someone wants to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Great. Thank you so much. so much. First of all, thank you, Paul, for asking me to do this. I've had a great time today.
Sure.
You know, getting in this business, this is not the business I thought I'd be in. I've always been kind of in the people business. I grew up in Indiana and went to the same university that David Letterman went to. He's a lot older than I am. But my background is in chemistry. And the only relationship between that and property management is, you know, by the time I got into property management, people were like either growing drugs, they were on drugs, you know, whatever. And I met my husband, my second husband. I burned through the first one. He produced some good-looking kids. I'm all past him. And we were in Chicago, and I said, you know what, I'm tired of shoveling snow. Let's go someplace warm. And he's a graphics designer by trade. And so he put in his resume, and we ended up here in Texas. And how I got in the business, I was laying at the pool at the property that we were staying at, and the manager came out and said, hey, you want a job? I mean, literally, that was it. I started out as a housekeeper, then I was a leasing consultant on the weekends, and that was in Odessa, Texas.
Oh, wow.
West Texas. And I moved to Austin because she wanted me to be part of the team, and literally the rest is history. I was blessed to be with great management companies that really – embraced education, because that's my thing. Education is my thing. I have a quote that I say for my company. It's called Passion for Performance, because if you're not educated and up to date with what are things are going on, they're never going to call you back. They're going to go, oh, Jackie, she was great, but I heard her before. Those are death words in our business. And I've loved every minute of it. When I opened my own business in 2000, I thought I'm going to take everything I know of life and love and management and help other people be successful.
So tell us real quick, we got about 30 seconds left, what you're working on now and how someone can get in touch with you.
Well, I have a website. It's JackieRamstead.com. I'm updating that. I've got a Facebook page. It's my name. I've got a Twitter account. I've got all the same thing. I've got an Instagram account. And I'm working for 2020. Here's my focus. I have a little quote. It's called, live by your own agenda, not by somebody else's. And how are you going to be your best life, inspire and motivate other people to do the same thing? So all of my sessions that I'm doing right now are about taking that second level, not just the basics, but going to the next level. And this employee engagement is going to be my sole focus. And then they'll be spiraled off from that. I have my Austin office, 800-925-5169. I would love to hear from your listeners. I am booked pretty heavy all the time, so if you need me, you got to call and get to me quickly. But, Paul, thank you again for this opportunity to speak to your listeners. I love this business, and that's why I'm still here.
Thank you so much, Jackie. It's been great, and we certainly want to have you back on again. We do have to close out, and we will be back next week with another great topic and a power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.